How many are stirred up in your spirit about this next year? I am. I'm already thinking about things and asking God what's next. And I always like to get a word for the year. And, I don't know what it is yet, but I don't know for sure what it is yet. But what's been rolling around in me a lot has been you need to have alignment for the assignment. And I've mentioned it a couple times, but I'm like, Lord, what does that mean exactly? What does that mean? We need alignment for the assignment. And so how many have my sister-in-law's book, The Spirit Realm? Nobody? I gave it away, I think, a few people. You guys need to get this book. It's an amazing book. I'm going to talk about some of this, a little bit of this tonight, but this is Patsy's book. And she has a new one coming out that she was finishing up. And we're going to get that for everybody too. But so I want to talk to you tonight about the alignment for the assignment. And the question is, what's the assignment? And you guys concur? Are you like, well, what's the assignment? And we are called to work with God in the realm of the spirit. I know we are. We're a three-part being. We are a spirit. We live in a body. We have a mind, will, and emotions. Y'all know all that. But a lot of times, living in this world, we're more body conscious. I mean, if you get online, and your phones will probably bring it up now because we're talking about it, but there's all kinds of exercises and things to better your body. There's all kinds of foods and diets and things to make life easier, help you lose weight, help you be healthier, all those things. You can buy just about anything. You know, I don't know if you guys have seen those advertisements for ArmRaw or whatever that's, however you say that. How many have fallen for that? I have fallen for it. It's collagen, and then we've got colostrum, and then we've got, all the things. And there's people that I've followed before. I don't really look at them anymore, but they'll get up in the morning. They'll say, this is my morning routine, and they start putting powders in their waters. Have y'all seen those? Well, this is my colostrum, and this is my collagen, and this is my protein, and this is my this, and this is my that. And Braden asked me the other day, he said, do we have carnitine? I said, I think we have it all. in our endeavors to get healthy these last couple of years, because, my word for the year a couple of years ago was intentional living. And the Lord said, I want you to do everything intentional, spirit, soul, and body. So we've been on a journey for that. We've made some adjustments with our eating and all the things, and we found out why. God was warning us and preparing us for what was coming ahead with some health issues and things. And aren't you glad that he shows us things to come? The word says that he shows us things to come. And so, but he only shows us if we're in tune and we're listening, or if we have ears to hear. Yeah. And so we should be in, we are in training right now. We're in spiritual training to be in tune to what he's saying for this hour. I shared with the ladies, I won't go into all of it, but the other day when I was flying, there was this big mess of me flying, and I ended up having to change planes a couple of times, got on the plane, didn't have peace. And they were working on the plane for like 40 minutes, still didn't have peace. And the longer I sat there, the less peace I had, and I was like, I'm getting off this plane. And they got mad at me, but that's okay. I said, I have a right to get off this plane. I don't have peace, I'm getting off. And so I don't know, but the Lord showed me later, he said, that was a test. That was an exercise that I wanted to see if you would listen and obey. And I think in the hour that we're living in right now, it's pertinent that we are not just listening, but we're obeying, right? It's the willing and obedient that eat the good of the land. And so we have to be listening for his voice. Listening. There are many voices in the world today. Are we listening for his voice? And so, are y'all good? All right. Is everybody writing or something? Everybody's kind of looking down, so I didn't know. have you ever sensed God was doing something, but you couldn't quite see it yet? That was a big yes. Kind of right now, we're kind of feeling that, right? And so have you ever felt prompted to pray or speak or act without immediate evidence? like there's, you know, there's something that you're supposed to be praying about. Don't really know what it's about, but there's something. You know, the Lord will show us things if we're listening. How many get dreams sometimes? I've had dreams. The Lord showed me things in dreams. One time we were living out in California. We were coming home from church. I was walking in the house, and I sensed something. And the Lord said, you need to be praying. And I looked up. I even stopped and looked up in the sky. I felt something. I'm like, what is going on? And the next day was the Oklahoma bombing. It was like, the Lord will show us how we need to be praying for people, specific things, you know, because he wants to use us, because we are supposed to be working with him. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is we have assignments, and we are to be working alongside with, I mean, he's living on the inside of us, so we need to be working with him. We're not just here, just floating along, just, you know, what's our growth for? You know, I loved it with our ladies the other night. I asked, went around the room and said, just tell me one thing that we're coming to the end of the year. What's something that you're grateful for this year? Because, you know, we need to end our year with gratefulness. Amen? And so everybody went around and talked about, you know, how much. I heard the word growth a lot, that I've learned some things. I'm growing and I'm excited. A lot of people gone through some things, as we all have. But looking at the positive and knowing that we've grown through those things, that, you know, when we're going through things, there should be growth. We're not just going through it just to go through it. It's like lifting a weight. We're not just breaking down that muscle just to break it down. No, we're breaking it down to build it up, to make something happen. And so when we're walking through some things, we should be learning some things so that we're on the other side of this. So when we see some things coming at us again, we're not going around that mountain multiple times like the children of Israel. We saw this before. Oh, I know what this is. And I'm stronger and I'm wiser for it. And so now I know how to handle this. And I'm going on to the other side. I'm not going to just keep walking around this mountain. Amen. So we need to be mindful. We need to be praying. Of course, we need to be in the Word so that when we're feeling prompted to pray or to speak or to act on something, there's an immediate action. So that moment right there is where the realm of the Spirit becomes real. And I want to talk about the realm of the Spirit. I'm not really going to refer much to that, but I just wanted to show it to you because I really think it'd be advantageous for you to get it. But I remember Patsy telling this story. You know, Patsy was always such a prayer warrior, and that was really her thing. She taught prayer, you know, prayer and healing school at Rhema. And I remember her telling this story. She said she was driving in the car in Australia, and she was just praying to herself, and she stopped at a stop sign and looked over at the person in the car, and this person went, like, kind of demonic. Like, so, you know, I don't know, how would you respond if somebody did that to you? You'd be like, you know, and go, oh, they got a problem. You know, Patsy, in her Patsy self, prayed for that person. She took it on as an assignment, and she started praying in the Spirit and commanding the devil to come out and set that person free and whatnot. And so she tells the story, and I don't know if I'm telling it exactly, the timing and everything, but the woman followed her to the church, and then I think someone prayed for her once she got up there. Has anybody heard this story? And then, I think it was a year later, there was a woman in the church that was, I think she was on staff. She was cleaning. She had gone through, because they ran a Rhema Bible training center in Australia. She had gone through the Bible school, and she was cleaning. And she was just talking to this lady, and she's like, oh, you know, tell me about your background. And she goes, well, she goes, remember that day when you pulled up to the stop sign and you looked over at me? All of a sudden, Patsy was like, oh, that was you? She said, that was me. She said, I followed you because I was going to let you have it. And she said, when I got up there, of course, I don't think she realized Patsy had prayed for her in the car. But that was an assignment at that moment. That wasn't like, hello, I'm God. I have a big assignment for you. It was just passing in a car, and she offered up her prayer, her petitions for this woman. And that prayer made a change. It made a difference in this woman's trajectory of her whole destiny. Just by her being willing to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to lift up a prayer for this person, to care enough to pray for this person. And then this lady gets set free, goes to Bible school, and is now working in their church. I don't know about you, but that is phenomenal to me to be used by God in such a way. And it's so menial. There's no flash. There's no glory. Nobody knew about it. But God got the glory because this woman was set free. I love that. So number one, we're going to talk about the spirit realm is more real than the natural. How many believe that? The spirit realm, we are more in tune usually with the natural realm, with the intellect, with the mind, the will, and emotions. Our emotions like to lead us, and we like to follow them. But it is my endeavor this year, this is for me, and I would like to charge you and encourage you this year to be so spiritually minded, to be so in tune with the Holy Ghost and what he's saying and what he's directing you to do, what he's directing you not to say and not to do, so that we are so led by him that we are operating in co-laborers with him, because that's what the word says we're to be. We're to be co-laborers. So I'm going to get a little help. I'm going to have you read Hebrews 11:3. Can somebody pull it up in the Passion? I'm going to get a few translations because I want you to hear what it says. Somebody pull it up in the Passion, Hebrews 11:3. Somebody get the King James or the New King James. And then if somebody has, if you can pull it up on your phone, the ESV. And I would like to read this and just, I want to just establish this truth together that the spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. So does anybody have the Passion yet? Anybody? Go ahead. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that we see. It came out of his mouth. He spoke it. So it came from the unseen into the seen, right? Who has the next one? Yeah.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear.
Okay. So the things that we see were made. Say that again. The last part. Things that are seen now were not made by things that appear, correct? Did I say that right? So, which do appear. Okay, and who has the other one? ESV? Okay, so the things that are seen were not made by things that are visible. So can we agree that the spirit realm is more real than, sorry, trying to get that open. I want to read something to you in my study Bible too, or out of my study Bible. It's, I'll read the Amplified. I meant to have it up for you. Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, we understand that the universe was created. Nope, that's the ESV. By faith, we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed. I like that word, framed. Fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Right? So this word framed means, in the Strong's, means to arrange or set in order or equip or adjust or complete what is lacking. Make fully ready, repair, prepare. The word is a combination of down, complete, or fitted. So he framed the worlds with the sound of his voice. He actually made it fit. He adjusted it. He made it perfect. And he did that with us when he created us. Amen? So we agree, we've established it, that the worlds were created by the spirit realm or through the spirit realm. And some people may say, well, I don't see the spirit realm. I don't feel the spirit realm like you feel it. I don't understand it. Things in the spirit cannot be perceived or conceived by the natural man or the natural mind. It has to be perceived or conceived by revelation in the spirit. Amen? That's why it's important that we renew our minds, because we have this regenerated spirit man, but the mind is still needing that refreshing, that regeneration. And that's what the word brings. The word has life. It has power. And when we get into the word, that power comes in and drives out the things that we don't understand, the lack, the doubt, the unbelief. And it causes us, because the word says, those that come to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. Well, if I'm coming to him, I'm believing he is, first of all. So I'm coming by faith. And the just live by faith. We act by faith. We read the word by faith. Everything we're doing is by faith. We're faith people. Amen? So we operate out of a place in the spirit realm by faith. It's not something that I feel. It's not that I get the heebie-jeebies or the goosebumps or whatever. Sunday when we were worshiping, there was a moment there where it was like, sometimes as a singer, you can hear it. It's like a sound. I don't know how to describe it, but it's like a sound. You can hear it when you're in this place. It's like there's an anointing on that word. There's an anointing. That's why I kept repeating, and I was exhorting with what was I saying about he has no equal. There's no rival. There's no equal. And somebody said something at the ladies' meeting. When we were singing that part about there's no equal, she said, it just hit my spirit. That's the anointing. That's the spirit realm. We were in a place in the spirit realm where the Holy Ghost was bringing in revelation and increase on the inside. That's why sometimes we like to kind of stay there, because we want him to be able to do the work that he's doing in that moment. We don't want to just skip on by and, well, that was a nice song, and I got to shake everybody's hand. No, we want to be able to allow him to impress his heart upon our heart, impress his mind. So we do have the mind of Christ, and we hold the thoughts, feelings, and the purposes of our Father's heart, because there's revelation coming in this moment right now. And it goes beyond the intellect and goes straight to our spirits, our hearts. Amen? So the spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. So what came first, what you see or what God spoke? What came first? What God spoke. So God spoke first, then creation responded, right? So creation will respond to the word of God. Creation will respond when we speak the word of God. Amen? So God works from the unseen into the seen, and he invites believers to be partners with him there. Number two, God invites us to work with him. I'm making this super simple, but I want us just to kind of get this. It's just this beginning of some things, but this is not a spectator faith. This is a participator faith. I remember the first time I went with, it wasn't the first time, but I was with Raymond Singers. We were in Florida somewhere, and we were in this huge convention center, and there was thousands of people, and the Holy Ghost was moving on the band, and there was like so much going on. There was, you know, I always say you're not leading if you're not sweating, because we were just, sweat was dripping. We were like the Holy, and of course, you know, when there's fire, you're going to sweat. So the fire of the Holy Ghost was just flowing. And Dad Hagen was sitting on, like he does, sitting there just, you know, doing his leg and laughing. And the people were just not responding. They were just waiting on him to get up. And here I am. I'm 19 years old, and I don't know what I'm doing. And although I grew up in Lester Summerall's church and saw boldness, you know, people act out in boldness. So I felt the anointing on me so strongly. And they turned around and said, anybody got anything? And I got up and I said, did you come here to be a part a participator or a spectator, or did you come to be a participator? Did you come to listen to the voice of God, or did you come just to wait on a man? And I thought, I just lost my job. I totally just lost my job. And I looked back at him like, was that okay? And he's laughing and slapping his leg. And the team was all like, yeah, yeah, that's right. Because the people were not responding to the move of the Spirit. They were waiting on a man to get up and say something. And I know Dad's heart. His heart was that we would flow with the Holy Ghost no matter who was in front, no matter who was guiding it. He would say, go for it. You know, in fact, he would encourage us to get up and do something by the Spirit, by faith. Most of the time when we get up to say something, we might have one or two words, and we step out in faith, and the Lord helps, enables us to move forward. Y'all know that. When you've stepped out in faith, sometimes it's like, I got one word, and I got an unction. I got an unction from the Holy Ghost. Sunday was an example of that. I had an unction and knew there was something that needed to be said and something that needed to be imparted. But that is our place. We're to work with Him. We're not just to sit on our tush and wait on things to happen. We're to step out in faith. I love what Keith Moore said, and this has become my saying. He would say, if Dad Hagen calls on me, I'm going to get up whether I have something or not. And by faith, I'm going to open my mouth. And if I step forward by faith, God will fill it because I know He's a faithful Father. And so that's what I've done. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get up and believe God that He's going to meet me where I'm at because I'm stepping out in faith. What am I doing? I'm working with Him. He's working with me. I'm willing and I'm obedient and I'm going to do what He's, you know, and it's all done decently in order. We don't go crazy, you know, but we have to be willing to work with Him. We're not just sitting back and saying, I just need more today. I just need more. Just give me more. Well, we all need to be in the Word, but if we're in the Word, there's growth coming out of us, and we have something to give to others. We're not just consumers, amen? We're able to participate and be a blessing to others, amen? Okay, so this is a great example. When we're working with one another, when we're working with Him, we are able to flow in a way. We're hearing a language of heaven. We're hearing the voice of God. We're hearing the Holy Spirit say, do this, say this. And so it's a freedom. It's a place where the river is flowing. The river of God is flowing, and we're stepping into that river. The river's taking you somewhere. So many of you have heard Pastor Steve refer to he went to Africa before we were married. He lived there for, I don't know, 6 or 8 months. Something like that. And he worked with Ralph Hagemeyer, if you know who that is. Is he still there? I think he's still there. Missionary. And he was in charge of helping build the Bible school, correct? The beginnings. But you were over all these African people, and they did not speak English. And so he was working with these guys. And he had to communicate with them to be able to work with them. So at night, he taught himself Swahili. So he would take those index cards and learn how to talk to these people. And so when I married him, he was singing in the shower in Swahili. And I said, we're not going to Africa. Anyway, I told Brother Hagen we'd go wherever. Anyway, it's kind of freaked me out. Anyway, so my point here is, though, he had to learn the language to be able to work with the people. And that's what is required of us. We need to learn the language of heaven. We need to learn the language of the spirit realm so we can work with the kingdom. We can work with heaven. We can work with the flow of the Holy Ghost. It can't be our own language. It has to be His language. What is God saying right now? What is He wanting to do right now? I saw advertised they have these little ear, I don't know what they are. They're like headphone type things, and they interpret for you, right? Oh, my goodness. You need those, buddy. When you go all these places, you put them in your ears, and it just interprets what they're saying. Don't you wish we had, like, God, spirit, realm, ear plugs? Stick it in there. Lord, what do I need to say? What do I need to do? Where do I need to go? And it's just right there, you know. Wouldn't that be awesome? But that's the way it's supposed to be for us. We are to be God's fellow workers. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. The Amplified says, for we are God's fellow workers, his servants working together. You are God's cultivated field, God's building. Now, when I'm reading the scripture, I'm like, okay, what in the world does this mean that I'm God's cultivated field and I'm God's building? I get the working with him part, but what does it have to do with a field and a building? Have you ever thought that? Am I the only one who has no clue? I mean, you can kind of get an idea. So anyway, I did a little poking around. What Paul is saying is that a cultivated field is not like wild land. It is land that's been chosen. It's been prepared. It's been tended to. It's been planted with intention. So that's what he's done in us. It's telling us something very powerful, that your life is not an accident. Your growth is not random. There is purpose in the cultivation of your field. It's a biblical principle or a biblical picture of a cultivated field. It's on purpose. It's intentional. There's my word. So Paul explains this verse earlier in 1 Corinthians 3:6. He says, I planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. I'm looking at this scripture and I'm thinking, okay, so Paul plants, Apollos waters, but it's God who brings the growth. God that brings, and I know we know this scripture and we've kind of skipped through it through the years, but I just had such a revelation on it. It's like God was saying there's an order to it. God assigns planters. I'm your assigned planter tonight. I'm planting the word. And then God assigns waterers. There's waterers that come into your path, and you can do it yourself. You can water with the word. But God alone is the one who produces the growth. And let me just throw this out there really quick, because it's not where I'm going, but we sometimes put men on a pedestal. And I'm not taking away from the honor that we need to give, because there's that. But if we think that we have to be under a certain person to get the growth that we need, it is wrong. God assigns us places and he plants us. And when we're planted in the house of the Lord, the word says we'll flourish in the courts of our God. But if some man is pointing to himself saying, you're only getting this because I'm giving it to you, it's wrong. God brings the increase. He brings the growth in your life. We are responsible to come plant the seed. We're responsible to water the seed. But God, and that's why he gets the glory. Only he gets the glory. This church will develop and grow, and people will receive what they need. We heard it Monday night from the ladies. I've grown so much, and that's wonderful. But that's because the word has been planted, and the watering of the word has been there. But God is the one who gets the glory, not man, not man. And I want to be sure you understand that, because we're not here to receive any glory. We're here to do our part, to be willing and obedient to what he's called us to do. And then God gets the glory in our lives. Amen? Amen. So that means people may help, but God is the source. Growth takes time, seasons, and patience. No one gets the glory except God. So you are God's building. And here's the building. You are God's field, God's building. Paul shifts the metaphors from agriculture to architecture. I think it's amazing. So what a building implies is that there is a design. There's planning. You're built according to specifications. You're not just thrown together. You are specifically put together, constructed on a foundation. You are being built on purpose. And so he's done all these things purposefully. He's put himself on the inside of you. He's given you himself. And now he says, let's work together and do kingdom business. He doesn't leave us alone on our own and say, get out there and just do it. Try to figure it out. No, he wants to work with us. So he wanted it to work out so badly, he sent Christ. And he put Christ smack dab on the inside of you. And the hope of glory is living on the inside of me to enable and equip me to do what God's called me to do. We are qualified. We are complete. We are not without. We have everything we need when we have Christ on the inside. The one main thing that is needed is a renewal of the mind as to who you are, and what you have, and what abilities are on the inside of you. And why would God put that on the inside of you and then withhold himself? He doesn't withhold himself Aren't you thankful? So notice the wording, his servants working with God, not workers for God, but working with God. We're working with him. I love that. I don't like this double page thing. It's confusing. I usually use my other thing. Okay, so what does it change in you when you, or what does it do to you when you realize God wants your hand in what he's doing? He wants your obedience. He wants your prayers. He wants your agreement. He wants to work with you. Does it kind of make things, shift things a little bit when we start thinking about the plan of God? The plan of God is going to be fulfilled, but it's through our obedience and through our surrender. So faith is an alignment. It's aligning our hearts, our words, our actions with what God is already doing in the spirit realm. There's already things going on in the spirit realm. It's just up to us to get in alignment with what he's doing. So number three, faith is our access point. We access things in the spirit by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is not passive belief. Faith is active alignment, actively aligning ourselves through the word, through prayer, through setting our mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Faith listens before it speaks. Faith obeys before it sees. I'll say it again. Faith obeys before it sees. So sometimes you're going to have to step out over the cliff or get out of the boat. Faith trusts God's timing over human logic. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And he will direct your path. I switched it, but you get what I'm saying. So where might God be asking you to trust him before you understand? Are there some areas in your life that he's wanting you to trust him? And he's asking you to step out of the boat and do some things, and you may not understand it. How many times we say, well, I just don't understand that. I don't understand that. Have you ever told your kids to do something and they go, why? I don't understand that. You don't need to understand what I told you to do, right? We get it as parents. Why can't we do it as children of God when he tells us to do something? So number four, our words and our actions align us with the spirit realm. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat the fruit thereof, Proverbs 18, 21. Words are not neutral. They either align us with fear or they align us with faith. So this week, my grandson found this lovely little doodad. Found it in my mom's old car. And he thought it was the coolest thing since sliced bread. So he puts this thing on, and he's walking around the house. And he says, I think this is cool. I want to do it. I want to walk in it. Give it to me. And so he's walking around. He said, I'm going to act like I'm sick, and don't pray for me that I get sick, that I get well. He told me not to pray for him. Don't pray for me. I don't want you to pray for me. And so he walked around, a couple days with that dumb thing on his foot? And so I take him to, he wants to go to Target. I take him to Target, and he, you know, this thing will kind of make you walk funny. So we're walking in Target, and he's going like this. He doesn't have that boot on. He's just walking like that. He goes, I think one of my legs is taller than the other one. I go, since when? He goes, it's acting weird. And then he goes, you know what? It's because I've been wearing that boot. I've changed the way I walk. Oh. So I started thinking about that. Another example, our son Hayden. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Hayden was probably 7, I think. And you know those plastic golf clubs that you can get and that plastic, like, container that you put the clubs in? It's like, and it has a little sling thing on it. Well, he thought it was really handy to make it like a sling. He put it over his neck, thought he was going to be cool to wear this, like, golf club holder as a sling. And I kept saying, you better stop doing that. You're acting out something you don't need to act out. Well, guess what he did that day? He broke his arm. he got to wear a real cast and a real thing. And I thought, you know what? This is exactly what Braden's doing, the exact same thing right now. And I was thinking about it as he was doing this. You know, we can get used to things to be in our life being a certain way. We can get used to putting up with cultural things that aren't right in our homes, strife, money things. We can just get used to things. We just kind of walking around like this. Just kind of, I'm all right with it. And then God's saying, I want you to be free from that. And you don't know how to walk afterward. You've gotten so used to what you've been putting up with. You've been walking a certain way for a while, and you've been complacent with your faith, that after you take the thing off, you just, well, I just got one leg longer than the other one. That's just all it is. No, you've been putting up with something that wasn't yours to be putting up with. You put something on your body. You allowed something to stay on there that wasn't of God. That's not a part of the spirit realm. That's something that God never meant or intended for you to have. And so what he's wanting you to do is take it off, shake it off, use the word, and change the trajectory of your life. Too many of us get used to things a certain way. Then we get out of it, we're still kind of walking that way. And it's like, what's wrong with you? I don't know. Why are you thinking that way? I don't know. Why are you talking like that? I don't know. I didn't know I was talking a certain way. Because your mind needs renewal, because you've succumbed to the things of this world, and you're not in that place of being in the spirit realm where you can be sensitive to what the Holy Ghost is saying. And he's saying, I want you to get rid of that thing and start running your race. Amen? And start providing what I want to provide in your life, the things that I've already given you. He's already provided everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Jesus isn't going to do anything else. He's not going to die on the cross, and he's not going to come back again. Be raised again. He's already provided everything we need. We just need to access it. Amen? So it is our job. It is our job to flow in that place. Let me find my spot here. So Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what are you thinking about yourself? Are you thinking I'm not good enough? Are you thinking I'm not capable? Are you thinking I'm not confident? Are you thinking I'm too old? What are you thinking about yourself right now? Because as a man thinks, so is he in this world. And this speaks to internal alignment producing outward behavior. So when you're thinking on something, you're believing it. And what you're believing, it affects your behavior. So you'll think it, you'll believe it, and you'll behave that way, kind of like what he did. So repeated patterns will shape your conduct. And what is internalized becomes embodied. What you've internalized, what you've been thinking on, what you've been setting your focus on, it becomes a reality in your life. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. We're being transformed how? By we're beholding him. What are you beholding? What you behold is what you become. Beholding equals sustained attention. That's what beholding is. You have a sustained or fixed attention on something. What are you looking at? Transformation follows your focus. It is not an effort. It follows what you've been focused on. Whatever you've been focused on is what's going to manifest in your life. It comes from beholding, not trying. You don't have to try any harder to be better. You're already the righteousness of God in Christ. He's already made you everything you need to be, right standing in him. It's just what you've been looking at. If you don't like your life, check what you've been looking at in here. What have you been focusing on? What words are you meditating on? As a man thinks, so is he. What are you thinking about? If you're not thinking things that are right, then you've been thinking on things that are not God. And it's a place where the enemy likes to get us off course. Every one of us here, I guarantee, deal with some kind of insecurity or thing that catches us because the enemy wants to stop us from fulfilling the plan of God for our life. You know, Dad Hagen wrote that book on purposes, plans, and pursuits. And it's God's heart for us to follow and fulfill the plan that he has for us. Why would he give us a plan if he didn't think we could fulfill it? If he didn't think we could do it? I had something come to me today when I was preparing this. Oops. And I wrote it down. Let's see, where's it at? This came to me. The fulfillment in our lives will never come without complete surrendering to God's plan. The fulfillment in our lives will never come without a complete surrendering to God's plan. Surrendering to what it looks like in the mind of God, not in the mind of man. You might think it looks a certain way, but God has in his mind the way it should be. And until we surrender to his will and his ways, it can never come into fruition. You know, we've had several people in our lives pass this year. We just had an uncle pass this week. And it's been so in my heart a lot lately, just about praying about our endings. And I know that I don't want that to sound morbid, but we're going to pass someday and we're going to go to heaven. And so have we thought about how we want to end? Do we want to choose our endings? And I'm seeing so many people in their latter years that struggle to let go of life. They don't want to go. And usually those people are the ones who have not fulfilled the plan of God in their life. They've been diverted by attitudes. Usually it's because of bitterness or offenses. And those things are holding them here. Like they suffer because there's something on the inside of them that knows they didn't fulfill things that God had called them to do. And I want to encourage us, let's run our race fully and completely. I remember when my grandmother passed. It's been how many years now? It's been a long time. 11 years. But the Lord gave me a specific word to speak to our cousins. Because the Bear family, we have always been spiritual, strong people. Our grandfather and uncle, they were church builders, physically church builders. They built churches. And we're a part of that with Lester Summerall's. But anyway, their heart was to see the plan of God fulfilled. And so they wanted to provide buildings. That was part of what they wanted. And my grandmother was a beautiful, sweet woman, always talked about the word, never saw anything wrong with anybody. Sometimes we were like, Grandma, do you got eyes? And she would say things about certain ones. We're like, that's not what we see. But she always saw the best in everybody. And when she passed, my grandfather had already passed, and Grandma passed, the Lord gave me this word about passing on the baton and running the race. And you know, when I was never really a relay race girl, I was in choir. But I think I ran one when I was in seventh grade, and they said, don't drop the baton. You'll lose the race for everybody if you drop that baton. And if you don't finish, you're going to lose it for everybody. So those two things, you have to run, and you can't drop the baton. You're laughing. They laugh because they know I wasn't a very good sportsman. But anyway, and I know it sounds simple, but when you relate it to what I'm talking about right now with spiritual things, how many people in your life have stopped running? How many people in your life have dropped the baton? And it's not about your circumstances. It's not about the whys or the blames or the excuses. It's about standing before God someday and saying, he says, well, you're done. Or well done, the good and faithful servant. Amen? And so I want to finish well. I want to intentionally do everything that he has for me to do. All right? How about you? I know you do. Okay, I'm almost done. Obedience positions us for God's work. So, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good land, Isaiah 1:19. Obedience is not about earning God's favor. It's about staying aligned with his purposes. We already have his favor. We don't have to earn his favor, but we need to stay aligned with his purposes. Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? What Jesus is addressing here, he's saying, you're saying the right words without submission. The other day I was praying, I was doing a little Bible study, and the Lord said, are you even paying attention to me right now? I heard him say that. I was like, oh, yeah, I am. You know, we can get into a method of doing things, and it can become just, oh, here I am. I'm doing this. I like to change it up a little bit so I don't get into that mundane place, but, you know, Are we mindful of the Lord, or are we just mindful of ourselves when we're going into his presence? Are we just seeking after bettering ourselves? Are we just seeking after being stronger and wiser and more intellectual about the word, more revelation? Are we really in there to get to know him? Is it really relational? Or is it just going through the motions? And I think the Lord was saying hello to me, because my mind was wandering. I had some things, you know, and Christmas can be that way because we're so busy. And I'm just being very transparent to y'all, because we're all the same. We all deal with the same things, don't we? Amen. And none of us are high and almighty, and we have it all together. We all need the Holy Ghost to remind us what we need. So he's talking about saying the right words without submission. We have to, and that's a big word right now. The Lord's been talking to me about surrendering and submission. Calling him Lord without obedience. Lord, Lord. Yeah, I don't know you. Spiritual language without aligning your living. We can say all the Christianese, but if our hearts and our lives are not living it, so, all right, a little bit more. So whatever has your focus has your heart. Whatever has your focus has your heart. It can be, you know, as parents, we can be focused on our kids, trying to fix our kids, trying to make sure our kids are where they need to be, jobs, money, all the things. We can be so mindful about ministry and all the things. And, you know, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you can be so conscientious of your faith that you're following after your faith instead of your faith in me. Does that make sense? And we have to be careful about that. Amen? And it's all about relationships. So in the culture of this day, when someone called someone Lord, it meant authority. It meant ownership. It meant right to command. So Jesus is essentially saying, if I truly have authority in your life, then your actions will show it. Your words alone do not establish lordship. Obedience does. So this ties it directly to our attention. Will bring us into alignment. Our alignment will help the manifestation or the expression of who he is in our lives. And then faith is revealed in our walk and our talk. Amen? The word says in James 1:22, familiar verse, you know, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So, is there anything that the Lord has instructed you? Are there instructions that God has already given that requires our response? That's a rhetorical question. I just want to leave you with that. But we are to be in alignment for the assignment. The only way we can do that is through our relationship with him, through the word. The word brings the power, brings the change, the transformation in our mind. It's not just a going through the motions. We're doing this purposefully because we are working with him for the kingdom's sake. Amen? And time is short. We know his coming is at hand, and we need to be about our Father's business. Amen? So let's stay in alignment for what he has for us. I believe there's a huge assignment for New Life Church in this next year. We've got some things rolling around already, and we'll be sharing some of those things. We're going to be doing our fasting and prayer time in January, so we encourage you to get on board with us on that. We're looking forward to what God's doing. I know we've started, Derek is helping us start a men's online, can I announce that? Okay, but you're starting a men's online prayer time. I don't know what the sequence is, but, okay. So, but we're excited about that because we want our guys to be leading out, amen. That was actually something that came out in prayer this last week, was for the men to be in that position of leadership in our church. So not that we don't think you are, but we're, you know, it's just another thing that the Lord said to pray over. So praise God. So let me say a word.